What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thankfully, the Padres lost today. Any other scenario would have been a complete and utter disaster. There was no scenario, by the way, today where the Padres threw nine innings were going to win this game. This was never going to happen. They did everything that they should have. They laid down as they should have. We can get into that. It is the right play. There's no other way to argue what happened here today. Now the Mets and Braves are playing two games tomorrow, and there's still two possible opponents for the wild card round for San Diego. We do know this. First pitch Tuesday is 5:38 p.m. Pacific. It'll be against either the Mets or the Braves. I think most Padres fans are rooting for the Mets in game one because that means Chris Sale will pitch in game two for Atlanta if there is that second game that matters for the Atlanta Braves. So let's talk about it all. Padres go 93-69, one of the best seasons in the history of the franchise. They're heading for the postseason. They'll be in a three-game series at Petco Park beginning Tuesday at 5:38. We have you covered, of course, on the wrap-up show. So smash the like button for us. Subscribe to the channel. We need to get to 7,200 subscribers before the postseason starts. We just do. I think we're 50 away. So just because of karma, please subscribe. Smash the like button. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the supers. We'll get to all of them. Did I even explain what happened Friday night while you were at the wedding?
You texted me and you said that you got a noise complaint.
I got a noise complaint. My worst fear that you told me would never happen in a million years.
A noise complaint?
There was a noise complaint from the lobby. I went down to the lobby. I didn't even do it in my room. I was in the lobby of a hotel doing it in the corner for 30 minutes. And then the front desk guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, someone called down and said, like, you're being loud. I don't think you are, but I like have to report it if a guest reported it. And I freak, you know me.
You freaked out. You crumbled.
Then I moved to another part of the hotel. I was carrying the laptop. It looked like Blair Witch. It was like Blair Witch Project.
I didn't watch 1 second of that.
It was, if anyone was here, they can verify. Anyway, it was a 35-minute abbreviated show. I freaked out. I couldn't sleep. It was a disaster. Anyway, I'm fine.
Do you think it was Sean Lewis?
No, I don't think so. I don't even say that.
Do you think it was like JD Wicker like trolling you?
No, I don't. I really don't know. I don't know what happened. But if
that that would have been hilarious, because we know JD knows what we do. So it's like, I'm sure JD was there this weekend. I don't know if he was.
He was.
Okay, so he was there. That would have been an ultimate troll, knowing that like you were down that lobby. And to call on you for a noise complaint, man, that would have been hilarious.
Anyway, we talked about it Friday night that like there were so many variables. It was Arizona, New York, and Atlanta at the time. Yeah. We didn't know how the Padres would maneuver their pitching staff Saturday and Sunday. Everything worked out perfectly, Jim. I mean, they used Martin Perez. They used Randy Vasquez. They protected their leverage relievers. They have Monday off. And now we just wait. I mean, I would say that to this point, everything's worked out perfectly, unless you're facing Chris Sale on Tuesday afternoon at Petco Park. But to this point, everything has worked out well.
Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, a little confusion this morning turned into everybody on the same page. Like,
there was no confusion, right?
No, I think there was some confusion. I mean, you saw Will Holder. I understand from a fan's perspective, you want to win every single game, but like, no, the scenario that happened today was the absolute right scenario. They needed to lose that game, like straight up. There was, if they won that game, that would have been an unmitigated disaster. Not from a standpoint of like, oh, they're going to lose, but they would have put themselves in a hole that they created. And the easiest solution there is just throw the game. I know they didn't throw the game because they're professionals, but like, don't do everything in your power to try to win it, Mike Schilt. Don't use anybody of consequence. Let Matt Waldron and who else pitched today? Randy Vasquez? Just go out there and just...
No, Martin Perez.
Martin Perez, sorry. Vasquez was last night. Who pitched very well, by the way.
Very well. How about a no-hitter through five?
Yeah, one hit through six. Like, I was looking at the game on my phone at the wedding. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But what happened today needed to happen. They needed to lose. And the situation with the Braves and the Mets played out perfectly. And so now it's a forced doubleheader tomorrow where there was a chance. I think if the Braves won going to be a doubleheader tomorrow, but if the Braves won the first game, the Mets won the first game, I forget the scenario where they wouldn't play the second game.
Well, depending on if the Padres had won this game today. Here's the deal. Right. Let's just talk about tomorrow. If Atlanta wins game one, they know they're coming here. They can punt on game two, but game two will be played.
Yeah.
Because the Mets are going to need a game two win to get into the postseason.
Right.
But if Atlanta drops game one, and that's why I think most Padres fans, I think it makes sense. You're just rooting for the Mets in game one because that means Atlanta uses Chris Sale. It doesn't even mean you're facing Atlanta in the wild card, because if Atlanta loses that game with Chris Sale on the mound, the Mets are coming here. But either way, here's the thing. Even if Atlanta wins game one, Jim, let's say they win the game 10-0. They never throw Sale. You're like, oh my gosh, Sale's coming here. This is a bit of a tough putt. They still got to play the second game. They still have to travel. So like the logistics of their day is at least a factor to consider. What time does this thing start? 1 o'clock Eastern, or is it noon Eastern tomorrow?
Tomorrow it starts at 10 a.m.
So 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
So, okay, think about that. 1 o'clock Eastern, let's just say a 2 hour, 45 minute game. It's 3:45. 30 minutes between games is 4:15. Another 2 hours and 45 minutes. It's 7 o'clock Eastern. Let's say they're on a plane by 9 p.m. Eastern. It's not before that, but let's say 8:30. Let's say 8:30.
From Atlanta.
It's 5:30 Pacific. They get here at midnight. So, I mean, that's their day. Well, the Padres are watching, you know, Monday Night Football. And their pitchers are being used. Relievers are being used. They have to win at least one of those games. So, again, it doesn't guarantee anything. These are professionals. These are good teams. I mean, they could come here, Jim, after playing 22 innings tomorrow, and they could win game one. I mean, I have no idea. We can't predict that. But considering everything, I see it as a advantage to be in this spot. You don't typically get this advantage. Typically, the season's over. You play a team. Yeah. And that's not the case because of that hurricane.
Yeah, the advantage that the Padres have right now, you could not have scripted it any better as long as
you win.
The Mets win game one. Like, you know, Mets win game one, then they're going to pitch Sale game two because their playoff hopes are on the line. And they've got to get in. And he's their best guy. And he hasn't pitched in 10 days because of the rainouts last week.
Mm-hmm.
So the ideal scenario for tomorrow, truthfully, is Mets win game one, Sale goes game two, and if the Braves win game two, so be it. But then the Braves would take on the Padres and without Chris Sale, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. I mean, could he appear in a third game on 2 days rest out of their bullpen? Maybe.
Yeah,
but I don't know, he wouldn't start that game. I mean, with a lead in the eighth inning, could you see him? Maybe. Carlos, appreciate the first super of the night. Again, guys, if you're here, please subscribe. We need to get to 7,200 subscribers on this channel. We're counting on you to do that here tonight. We are 49 subscribers away, so please subscribe. And thank you for the supers. Great way to support the channel. If you want to see your comment on the screen like this from Carlos, if you want to control the conversation, if you have a question or a comment, click the dollar sign below the chat box. Like Carlos, thank you, man. He says, rooting hard for the Mets game one tomorrow. Need Braves to use Sale for game two. However, best scenario is Mets sweep Braves, and we play Mets Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Is that the best scenario when the Mets went 5-2 against the Padres in the regular season? I'm just asking. I think Atlanta's good too, but I'm just asking. Is it preferred to play New York than Atlanta? I think I'd prefer Atlanta without Chris Sale than the Mets.
It's just sample size, but I saw Too Much Morton's posted this, and it's the splits for Cease against the Mets and against the Braves. You see this?
Right, he's been better against the Braves.
He's been infinitely better against the Braves. The Braves are hitting a combined 178 off of Chris Sale. Off of Dylan Cease in his career. And on the other hand, the Mets as a team, career-wise, are hitting 274. Now I have to go like deeper into the stats here, but I mean, Lindor's 4-for-12 off of Cease with 3 home runs and 5 RBIs. So I said this a couple weeks ago. You know, we talked about what teams were scary. I think I said the Mets were the scariest to me because at the time they were hot, and just because of the fact that the Mets have outplayed the Padres all year when they played them. But when I look at it, the overarching thing that scares me the most is the possibility of Tuesday at Petco Park at 5:38. We get to the bottom of the first inning and Chris Sale's on the mound.
And what's even scarier than that is it's 1-0 and Chris Sale's on the mound. You know, because then all of a sudden it's like everything you've done all year is all on the line immediately. And that's the problem of postseason baseball. It's very it's taxing, right? It puts you in tight situations, not automatically, but I mean, look at Chris Sale's numbers. It doesn't matter what you think. The numbers are the numbers. And he's had a dominant, unbelievable year. Now, Dylan Cease has been a dominant pitcher at times. He's capable of throwing 6 hitless innings on Tuesday, but so is Chris Sale, who can absolutely carve. And you want to avoid that. I mean, let's just say 18-3 Chris Sale gets the result he gets 80% of the time. You're down a game.
Yeah.
And your season's on the line.
And here's how I assume it will line up. Say the Braves win game one tomorrow. That's not ideal for the Padres.
Right.
That's,
but they're at home and it's very possible.
Right. Say they win game one. They're going to punt game two. Sale's not pitching.
Of course.
The rotation for the wild card series then would go like this for the Braves. Sale, Freed, Charlie Morton.
Crazy.
That's not something if as a Padres show and Padres fans, I don't think that's what you want to see opening up the postseason at Petco Park. That's the last thing I want to see.
Completely.
So like, yeah, has I think earlier this year, the Padres hit Max Fried pretty well.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know if they faced Charlie Morton this season. I know they faced Chris Sale twice.
They faced Morton.
And guess what? Chris Sale against two times against the Padres is 2-0 and is allowed one earned run in 13 innings pitched.
Remember how many struggles they were having against left-handers in the first half of the year?
And if Sale does not pitch game two for the Braves tomorrow, well, then you're going back-to-back lefties with Sale and Fried Tuesday, Wednesday.
And tomorrow in game one of that doubleheader, Atlanta is a sizable favorite, minus 155. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but Atlanta is expected to win that first game tomorrow at home, and it's on the Mets to prevent that from happening. There's some that believe this is going to be a gentleman's agreement, a kiss your sister type situation where both teams are going to get a win. I don't think you can guarantee that going in because baseball's stupid and the Padres didn't need to win Saturday and they nearly like no hit Arizona. So you can't go in assuming you'll get one of the two games if you're one of these two teams, especially as division rivals. I would never assume that because the team that loses game one is in trouble potentially even in game two. Carlos, appreciate you again with the super chats. He says, where will you guys be on Tuesday before the game? I plan on cracking open a cold beer, Pacifico. Circa 1 p.m. to celebrate the Padres and day off in Mexico. Love that. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Naughty Barrel at 9th and Market from 2. And do I have this correct? It's just us. There's no show before us. So us from 2 to 5:30, which is when the game starts. So we've got an extra 30 minutes. We've got a special start time. We're normally 3 to 6. We're 2 to 5:30, an extra 30 minutes of John and Jim Tuesday and Wednesday. And then if there's a game on Thursday, we'll have a show for you before the game as well for 3 hours.
Yeah, so we'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is the TBD if they even get there. But for sure, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll be downtown. We'll be in the middle of it, and it's going to be a party. Hopefully the Padres win, so then it's a fun party. Now, I'm looking at the chat here. Come on by, Carlos. Everybody come on by. If you're going downtown and you just want to be in it, like just, if you can't go to the game, just come on and hang out. I'm seeing, and like I said, I don't know the actual rotation for the Braves. I'm just assuming like if there's an opportunity like Fried and Morton, because I think Morton pitched today. He's gone on 3 days rest before in his career. I mean, in postseason and World Series. So he's done that. But it looks, I'm seeing people in the chat say Renardo Lopez would go for Atlanta game three, not Morton. Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
honestly, let's just talk about like what, I mean, I guess if I were to talk through it this way, like Carlos said, hopefully we see the Mets. Here's my ideal scenario. There's three for me. My number one scenario is Atlanta without Sale.
Correct.
My number two scenario is the New York Mets. And my last scenario is Atlanta with Sale.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Right. Like you had three options.
Yeah. There's only three options. You could get Atlanta, but they're not going to pitch Chris Sale in the series. I think I take my chances there. I don't think it's easy, by the way.
No.
But I think I take my chances there. From there, if I can't get that, I'll take the New York Mets at Petco Park in a three-game series. And from there, I think the worst-case scenario is facing Chris Sale, Max Fried. I think it's hard. Yeah. And I think, honestly, it's a coin flip of a three-game series, if that's what you get.
So, like, I know for the first 15 minutes of the show, we're like, this is a problem, right? If the Braves come to Petco and Chris Sale's on the mound game one, I still would like the Padres in the series. Like, I still like the Padres to get past the wild card round versus either the Braves or the Mets and square up with the Dodgers one more time starting on Saturday. I don't think it would be easy if Chris Sale goes game one. I think there's a better than 50% chance you can go into game two trailing by a game and playing for your playoff life. Like I do think that's a possibility for sure if Chris Sale goes game one. The one thing the Padres do well is they beat the shit out of bad pitchers. And if in that series against the Braves, you face Sale, Fried, and I guess Renardo Lopez, he's not a scrub by any means. Like that's tough. Now they would have to have their guys match them inning for inning. If Sale's going seven, giving up nothing, Cease has got to get through seven, or at least the Padres bullpen has to get through that without allowing a run either. Cause I do think the Braves bullpen could be got. So
I hate the Atlanta matchup. I'll be honest with you. I despise the Atlanta matchup.
Not great. It's not great right
now. I mean, Renardo Lopez has a 2 in 25 starts, a 2.00 ERA. I despise it even more with Chris Sale. I hate it with Chris Sale starting game one. I don't nearly despise it as much. You're talking about a three-game series. So if one game, if Atlanta in game one's a favorite, I don't know if they would be with Dylan Cease. They probably wouldn't be. It's kind of a straight-up game is how I look at it. But I'm telling you, heading into a three-game series with Chris Sale pitching game one, the Padres are no better than a minus 110 series. You know, their odds of winning the series probably no better than minus 110, minus 115. Heading into that series, my guess is they might be a little better against the New York Mets. But, I mean, listen, this is the time of year. I mean, I think we need to be honest with each other. The 93 and 69 means nothing.
Nothing.
It's great. They put themselves in the position to host a playoff series. That's unbelievable. Their accomplishments should be recognized. Luis Arraez winning the batting title is terrific.
Yeah, amazing.
What they did as a team this year is phenomenal. Jackson Merrill's season, Jerickson Profar, Manny Machado's second half, all of it should be celebrated. We've talked about it for weeks on end. Guess what? None of it matters. It doesn't matter. So now you have to look at cheerily the matchups. And that's what we're going to do over the next 48 hours. What matters to me is how the teams match up. If it's Atlanta against San Diego, if it's New York against San Diego, who's healthy, who's not, what the rotation is going to look like. I think the Padres, to your point, have favorable matchups because they have outstanding starting pitching. They've got a really good bullpen, and they have an offense that's come through by and large. That's very good. But with all that being said, Atlanta can shorten this thing up because they have Chris Sale, and he's capable of putting you in a tough spot. And they have Max Fried, who's capable of doing the same thing. So that's how I feel about it. I mean, they certainly can win the series. You're 100% right. I just think that everything that happened in the regular season, the 93 and 69, means absolutely nothing when you're facing Chris Sale at 5:38 on Tuesday, and you're just going to have to capitalize. And like you said, Dylan Cease is going to have to match Sale, and from there you'd feel good. If you get to a seventh inning tied, if you get to a sixth inning tied, you just got to go win that game, which is something they've done routinely throughout the course of the year. And that's why, to ZDFEFL's point, and thank you for the super, who do you feel more comfortable facing? I mean, who disagrees with that? Like, does anyone want to see Atlanta if Chris Sale's pitching game one? I can't see how anyone would sign up for that.
No, nobody that it knows baseball wants that, right? Like, you just don't. It just makes things tougher. Like, it just makes things harder. Like, now, granted, regardless, like, there's never an easy matchup in the postseason.
That's right.
It's never like you're facing the White Sox for a best of five. Like, you're not. It's these are all playoff teams, and it's all going to be difficult. Nothing is easy here. I'm just looking at, like, the matchups going forward to start on Tuesday against Atlanta. I'm, like, okay with. I'm not over the moon about it, but when you put it out there that if Chris Sale's on the mound game one and in a three-game series, game ones are like, it's like a game five in a best of seven tied 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
When you, like, that's what game ones are in a best of three, is that's a game five, and the winner of game one has such a leg up on you. Now they overcame it in 2020, right, when they lost game one of the Mike Schilt Cardinals, and then they were trailing in game two, and they came back and won that series. And it was like an incredible game three, where it's like the Craig Stammen bullpen game.
And they kind of, I mean, they did the same thing in 2022. I mean, they won game one, but they were in a third game.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Season's on the line.
I think the Cardinals, they had, I think, Adam Wainwright pitching game two, and it was like, oh, fuck, here we go. Right.
Yeah.
And that could be the same situation here. You're like, oh, God, we're down 1-0 against Max Fried game two. Like, what? Because Max Fried, I just checked, would be on regular rest for game two. Sale would be extra rest for game one. I mean, he's going on 10 days off.
That's
here.
The one caveat that I think could actually be advantage Padres. Because
I do agree.
You want to be on regular rest. You don't want to be on skipped turn. That, I mean, he might be overly sharp, but he might not be, because 10 days is a good amount of time.
Right. And, I mean, game three, it's a crapshoot. It's kind of one of those, like, hey, all hands on deck type of situation. The Padres are set up, though. Like, the one thing that I do feel that I'm happy with is, like, while the Mets and Braves are going to be duking it out tomorrow, and there's a lot of strategy there, I mean, the Padres have everything lined up, and they have everything in place that they want to have in place. They're going to have their rotation lined up. Their bullpen is fully rested. Lineup's ready to go. You know, we know now for certain that Ha-Seong Kim's out for the season, so there's no more questioning about that. I think Donovan Solano the last couple nights has had nice games to make sure he's not going into the postseason like ice cold. I think this team over the last three games, not counting today, did much better with runners in scoring position, clutch hitting. Luis Arraez, again, congratulations to him. Third batting title in a row. It's amazing. He did well in Arizona over the weekend. Like, I think the pitching's ready to go. I think the bullpen's rested to go. I think the lineup's ready. I think everything is ready to go from a Padres standpoint. Like, there's no fine-tuning everything. They're ready. They're just waiting. It's just a very unsettling feeling if you do go to Tuesday and it's like, hey, guess who's on the mound against you guys? Oh, it's Chris fucking Sale, the Cy Young Award winner. Did he win the Triple Crown in the National League this year?
Oh, I mean, did he lead an ERA?
He led an ERA.
Maybe among qualifiers.
Scooble led
The Triple Crown, though, is across a league, right? It's not across Major League.
I thought it was a league thing. Like, Scooble won
the AL. It is a league thing.
Okay, well, Scooble got the Triple Crown for pitching in the American League. Chris Sale had 18 wins. He leads baseball in ERA, and Chris Sale led the National League in strikeouts.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, Carlos says, have you seen the Chris Sale MLB Network analysis today? They talked about him looking gas, velocity down, and that's why he rested 10-plus days. I actually thought he was scheduled to appear.
He was in the rainout game.
Yeah, and then they now why was he fully skipped off the rainout as opposed to push back? I don't know the dynamics there. Maybe there is a reason as to why. I think that once they got too late, think about it, Carlos. If they would have started him Friday or Saturday, he wouldn't have been available for Monday, a normal rest. So if they started, I think they're holding him back for Monday. So I think it's less about velocity and more about if they're a win or go home game, they need Chris Sale on normal rest or more. And that's what they've put themselves in position to do now. So I don't think they're like hiding Chris Sale. That's not what I was aware of. But again, maybe he gets here and he's not as effective as he has been because it's been 10 plus days. And maybe because he's thrown all these innings this year, that's going to be an advantage. And the Padres have hit good pitching and the Padres have been good at home. I mean, the Padres are really good. Nobody's putting it past the Padres to score 2, 3, 4 runs off Chris Sale. Absolutely possible. It's just been hard is the point when you look at his numbers.
September, he's 3-0 with a 1.13 ERA.
That's not very gassed.
24 innings pitched, 28 strikeouts, 5 walks.
We're going to get back to the supers that are in front of this in a moment, but this is
$100 super chat.
Good karma moment for the wrap-up show. Can we get some clap emojis in the chat? Every so often, I think this might be, maybe we've had one or two of these this year, but this certainly has equaled the largest super of the season. So we appreciate you heading into the postseason. So actually, for everyone here, please subscribe for every so often because we're 48 subscribers away from 7,200. This is very generous, man. So let's read
Thank
through
you.
This. Let's talk about this for a few minutes. With the awesome Padres regular season over, just saying thanks for running the shows despite all the logistics and Jim's shitty computer and internet. Thank you for saying that. Ready for the guys to go out there and play hard and Fernando to be in the playoffs with fans in the stands. We appreciate you saying that. You can imagine for those that are here each and every night that there is a lot that goes into it. And me and Jim are constantly talking about like, hey, I have a wedding on Friday, or, oh, I'm getting married, or I'm calling a football game in Michigan.
Right.
How are we going to do this? Or how are we going to do that? So we try to keep the ball rolling all season long. We do it out of season as well. We'll do it each and every day in the postseason. So we do appreciate your support of the channel. It doesn't have to be financial. We just appreciate you guys being here and supporting the channel and telling other people about the channel and subscribing and liking it. I hadn't thought about Fernando in the postseason with fans in a while, truthfully. So I'm glad he brought that up because that's a really cool moment that Fernando Tatis Jr. has been waiting for what, 6 years since he made his big league debut in 2019?
Yeah, he's never played in a postseason in front of fans.
That's wild.
Yeah, no, it's a big moment for Tatis. This is like the redemption moment because he had a chance to be a part of the 2022 run and he fucked it up. And now, you know, coming back from injury once again for the stretch run, and he's played fantastic. I mean, if anybody said, hey, in the final month of the season, he's going to have 7 home runs. Maybe he had 8. I think he had 7 or 8.
Big number.
That's massive. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hey, just get a couple. And he ripped off damn near 10 home runs in the final month of the season. He looks healthy. He looks ready to go. I mean, he's electric. He's a game changer at any moment. Like, he can change the game. I think it was an idiotic argument in the first place of how this team was better without Fernando Tatis Jr. Are you kidding me? I mean, I like David Peralta a lot, but there's no world or no scenario that I would take David Peralta over Fernando Tatis Jr. It's not even a question.
Neither would David Peralta.
Right. So with him in the lineup, hitting second behind Luis Arraez and being a threat that he is, I mean, in the postseason, like, he's just a scary at bat. The Padres have a lot of scary at bats in their lineup. You know, you can't, you never can strike out Arraez. Tatis has the game changing threat. Same thing with Manny. Profar has been clutch all year. Jackson Merrill has been amazing. They just have pieces in their lineup that scare you as an opposing pitcher, especially a bullpen, by the way. But I mean, the bullpens, once you get the bullpen in the postseason play, I mean, every pitch at the end of that game is going to just feel excruciating. We all know that. I mean, if you watch postseason baseball, you know that, and especially coming off of 2022, Padres fans know that very well, how excruciating every pitch was. And it's going to be equally as excruciating this year, because there's really a lot of expectations with this team, more than 2022, in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think the expectations with this team are to at least get to a World Series from the fan base. I think the expectations of the fan base are to get to a World Series. And I think anything short of it is, you know, probably disappointing. I mean, I think if you get to a National League Championship Series, obviously it's a very good year. It would be just the fourth time in the history of the franchise, but still you're leaving something out there. And you're thinking about what could have been. By the way, you could have the exact same path still as we sit here. It could be Mets, Dodgers, Phillies. We don't know. Could be.
Yeah, dude, could you imagine?
Could be Mets, Dodgers, Phillies. We know this. The winner of whomever the Padres are playing the Dodgers. So you could go Mets, Dodgers. Now, it's more likely Braves, but you could go Mets, Dodgers, and the Phillies are going to be right there as well. We're going to get back to the Super Chats in a moment. There's 500 of you here right now. We're 45 subscribers away from 7,200. Please subscribe as we head towards the postseason. We are your home for reaction to Padres postseason baseball. So please subscribe. Smash the like button for us, and you can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We'll get to all the Super Chats here tonight. We appreciate your support of the channel. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We also appreciate your support of our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. We can't do this without Mark's support of the channel. He's been with us for 3+ years on YouTube. Great insurance agent. How do we know it? Because we have insurance through him. I've got homeowners and earthquake and life insurance through Mark. He could save you $750 just by switching your insurance. By the way, that's a good amount of money. In addition to that, if you ever need him, he's there for you. He's got great service and communication. I needed him in 2022, the last time the Padres were in the postseason. We had a flood, and he saved us a lot of money and a lot of time. And he can do the same thing for you if you ever need him. He's a native San Diegan. He's a lifelong Padres fan. And you can click the link in the description down below to get to his website, which you see on screen. In addition to that, you can call him, and he'll give you free quotes online or by calling him. And he'll talk to you about the Padres as well. So if you support the channel, please get in contact with our title sponsor for any insurance need. That's Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on the ticker below, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. And you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you. I just want to clear something up, because I'm seeing people in the chat. I don't know if people like understand this. 4 days off for a pitcher pitching on the fifth day is full rest. So correct. Max Fried pitched on Friday, the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, first. Second.
Yeah,
four. Max Fried would be on full rest pitching on game two on Wednesday. So I see people correct. Saying in the chat, he'd be on only 4 days rest. That's what pitchers do all season long.
Correct. So again, in today's baseball, guys do get fifth days often now, especially with the extra off days in the regular season. But yes, normal rest is 4 days of rest. JK Rosser LV, thank you for the super chat. Might be your first all time, so thank you. He says to anyone thank in the you. Chat going to the Animal House on Tuesday at 5:38, make sure you keep it rocking. Home field in October is a blessing. LFGST. Yeah, it's a really good point. You know, I was curious about this. I mean, Mets fans wouldn't know that they're coming here until the day before. Atlanta fans don't really know they're coming here until essentially the day before. What type of turnout would there be for the visitors on Tuesday? I don't know. Those are large fan bases. Atlanta's won a recent World Series. The Mets are in New York. And again, there's history between the Padres and the Mets as recently as a couple of seasons ago. I would think there'd be a little bit of an opposing crowd, to be honest, but with it being on a Tuesday and such a short turnaround, it's going to be 90% Padres fans have the chance to maybe be something like 95%. So it should be a really incredible. I go back to that Dodgers series. That was ridiculous. 99.9% Padres fans. Somehow that was incredible. And it's not always like that, as we know, in regular season series. But I would think this will be a really good, of course it's sold out, but I also think it's going to be a really good home field advantage because, again, the Mets don't know they're coming here until like the day before.
Yeah, it's Petco's going to be crazy. I mean, we saw it firsthand experience in 2022. First time in over a decade, and it's only been amplified with how many sellouts they've had this year. They're going to stuff 47,000 people in that stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, you're going to have, what, almost 125 to 130,000 fans in Petco if they play three games this week?
Yeah, more. 45 times 3 is 135. They'll probably have about 140.
140, yeah. Yep. About damn near 140,000 people will be downtown if they go to game three on Thursday.
Yeah.
So
big number. And more people probably just at bars, like Naughty Bear. I mean, there's going to be people downtown without tickets.
Yeah, the atmosphere is going to be electric. I think the 538 time is such a
perfect
scenario for the Padres because, one, I mean, everyone's going to be out of work by 5. And you don't have to worry about the logistics of an afternoon game and all that stuff. I think the prime time 5:38, 5:38, and then 4:08 potentially if they get to game three. I mean, it's a perfect scenario for the Padres.
It is, and their fans. It's because you know what? Oftentimes, when you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Rays, the Rays play 12:38 every year.
Yeah,
you know, the Kansas Cities, they play 2:32 local. And San Diego over the years has played at 3 p.m. local, 2 p.m. local. To get a 5 p.m. or later local is
a prime time slot advantage.
And honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with they know it's either going to be Atlanta or New York, and those are East Coast viewing audiences, and you're going to get that prime time East Coast slot.
Right.
I think the ratings will be great. I think Padres Braves, Padres Mets, both are compelling. I think the ratings will be really good. I think it's the most compelling markets and matchup potentially in that first round. I forget what the others are, but they're not as glamorous in my mind, and maybe I'm biased, than Padres Mets or Padres Braves. Vector 53, thank you for the super chat. He says, got NLDS, NLCS tickets. We'll say hi when I can, too.
Well, I got to get there. I got to get there first, buddy.
Yeah. Of course, their first NLDS home game would be game three if they get there.
Should be Tuesday. The following week,
which would be Tuesday, correct? Saturday, Sunday, off day Monday, Tuesday. So they play back to back Tuesdays if they can get there in the postseason at Petco Park. Derek, appreciate your support of the channel. This might be a super sticker, it doesn't show up in our software. If you have a comment you want us to get to, you can put it down below. You don't have to support with another super chat, but we appreciate you, man. Thank you. The Beef, appreciate you as well. He says, regular season stats are over, everything resets now. Padres are in the best position possible with pitchers rested and bats warm. The end game begins. Yeah, I agree with that. Did you see the Jeff Passan tweet where it made it sound like, what's his name? Who's the baseball writer that was always out there?
Tim Kirkchen.
He wrote this tweet like Tim Kirkchen had died. I mean, he really did.
I know. I thought, like, what's happening here?
Listen to the way this tweet starts. Earlier today, Tim Kirkchen, the greatest repository of baseball knowledge I know, said this is the most wide open postseason he can remember. I assumed after that comment, he was going to say has passed away. I mean, the way you can't do that, just say this is the most wide open postseason ever. How do I know? Tim Kirkchen, who's covered the sport for forever, just told me. And here's my article. And by the way, Passan had said this a month ago, and I've been talking about this, for about a month, and I completely agree. I can make an argument easily for the Padres to win the World Series, but I could probably make a similar argument for a lot of teams heading into the postseason in 2024. Things wide open.
I like Passan a lot. I think he gets it from like a generational standpoint of like baseball needs to get here instead of staying in the past type of thing. But
he's kind of a little wonky, isn't he?
I'm okay if you go to basketball, my guy.
Are you though? Because you're a big basketball fan. You want to deal with this? And basketball has way more national interest.
Well, yeah, but Shams runs circles around anybody. So doesn't matter. Shams is my guy.
Oh, interesting. So he'll go to basketball and then you just won't pay attention?
No, I'll pay attention, but like, it's not like he's going to get something that Shams is going to get first.
Interesting.
That's right. How I view it. I mean, Shams at the end ran circles.
Why don't they just hire Shams?
Good point. I think.
I mean, why are we moving our baseball insider to basketball? What does that say about the state of insiders today? We're just moving them from sport to sport. That's very weird to me.
What does it say about? I could think of like,
hey John and Jim, you guys do the Padres wrap up show. Can you do the Chargers? I mean, what are we talking about? It's completely, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I do think it's wide open, is the point.
I do too. I think it is wide open. I think the Padres have just as good a chance as anybody. And I mean, any series the Padres go into, it would take a lot for me to pick against them just if everything stays the same. Like, I mean, there have to be like an injury or like something along the lines. Like, Dodgers would be tough, but I still would like the Padres' chances. Phillies would be tough. I still like the Padres' chances. The Braves are going to be tough. So, like, the Padres' chances if the Braves play on Tuesday.
No, your point's valid. Yeah.
You know, Yankees, okay. That'd be tough. It'd be very interesting. They got there.
While to get there. Yeah.
Takes a while. Let's slow down. Got to get through, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe Thursday first. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I'll be wearing my Mets hat tomorrow for game one. That's for sure.
I do think, by the way, you mentioned the Yankees, and we'll get back to these supers in a moment. Again, guys, if you're here, please subscribe. Year-round content, as you know, for Padres fans. We've got all the postseason content you could possibly imagine, so please subscribe. We're 43 subscribers away from 7,200. And we appreciate the super chats. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. We promise we'll get to all of them. We appreciate your support of the channel. I do think it's an interesting comp based on one season in their new cities with their new teams. Juan Soto, 288, 419 on base. 988 OPS, 41 home runs, a career high. Michael King, a 2.95 in 30 starts, 201 strikeouts, a 1.19 whip. They both, not just individually, had great seasons, so did their teams. And they both are expected to potentially make runs, like a lot of teams are. This postseason, one of those win-win trades, at least in 2024. And shoot, I mean, maybe it'll be decided truly on field between the two teams at some point in October, which would be just incredible and crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the trade when it happened. I didn't know Michael King was going to put up this year because he never had done it before. I knew Juan Soto was going to put up a massive year because he has done it before. Didn't know about Kyle Higashioka. The thing about Kyle Higashioka was he's a guy, great defender, can't hit worth a lick. He'll have like 10 home runs for you, but that's about it. Ernie Vasquez, up-and-coming guy. Drew Thorpe was a high-type prospect. Johnny Brito, another guy, put in your bullpen. I was like, okay, you know, and glad that I was wrong and glad the trade had worked out. I mean, obviously I knew it was going to work out for the Yankees. It was like a foolproof, like, yeah, Juan Soto is going to hit here and be a success. Like, that's just who Juan Soto is. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Sure.
But there was a lot of like unknown with what Michael King could do and what the others in the trade could do, because you needed them to contribute, truthfully. And my God, did they contribute? I mean, you got Dylan Cease because of Drew Thorpe, which was amazing. Higashioka is your starting catcher in the postseason. He's hit 17 home runs for you this year. 17 home runs for Higgy. Randy Vasquez is a really nice back end starter. Like, he can pick up starts here and there, and you don't feel like, oh my God, sky's falling. And then Michael King has turned into a top rotation pitcher. I mean, just a perfect trade that ended up for both teams for this season. Long run, we'll see. But for this season alone, perfect trade for both teams.
Yeah, I agree. ZDFL, thank you for the super chat. He follows up with this. It's an interesting point. Sale in his career has a 6.18 in 10 postseason starts. To counter that, or to continue on that conversation about what guys have done in the postseason, I was thinking about Xander Bogaerts, who signs here 2 seasons ago, right, to start 2023. Now he's in. He's got 2 titles. Yeah. You know, Xander Bogaerts with the 2 titles, like, consider this. He has played in 11 postseason series. He's hit .231 with a .691 OPS in his postseason career. However, he's won at a high level. And they've won 2 titles, he did with Boston. And I feel as if it's also an important postseason for him, right? We've talked about this $280 million deal. We've talked about some of the disappointments. He's got to help this team win. He can't just be in the lineup. He can't just be starting. He's got to help this team win. You don't invest 280 to not help this time of year. And honestly, like I said earlier with 93 and 69, forget about the regular season. A lot of it for Xander Bogaerts was forgettable, certainly the first half and then the injury. And he was better in the second half, obviously. But can he turn the page? Can he have a successful couple of weeks for the Padres? That, to me, is a huge storyline heading into October.
Well, that's why they got him. They got him for this reason, to help them, to help put them over the top. I don't know if Xander's that guy, but like, that's one of the reasons why they got him. They needed something. They felt like they needed something to put this team over the top. And they felt like Xander, who's a two-time World Series champion, and the year before he became a free agent, I mean, I think he hit 300 with, I mean, he is an all-star, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, that guy can help you. And he's not been anywhere close to that, but I mean, postseason experience is a real thing. Like, it can help you.
He's got a ton of it.
He's got a ton of it. And so,
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Here we go. Yeah, I mean, it's just, we'll see what he can do.
And Manny, I mean, listen, Manny's had some very productive postseasons, including with the Padres in 2022. But as good as he was in the second half, can we see that just lights out career postseason for Manny Machado, where he just comes through in the clutch and delivers like he has consistently here in the second half of the year? Can we see from game one or game two of this wild card round where he delivers and he's got two extra base hits in the first game of the postseason, or three extra base hits in the first two games of the postseason? I mean, that's who he's been here in the second half of the year. And again, I know the sample sizes are so stupidly short, where you could be done in two games, or you could be moving on in two games. I mean, two games is nine plate appearances, eight plate appearances. And we're going to say, oh, he was 1-for-8. What does it even mean? But it's just so important. It's so impactful for Manny Machado to be the player that he has been for this team.
Can he have a Carlos Beltran, Barry Bonds, Bryce Harper type of postseason? I know that I'm putting three of the best postseasons that you'll see of recent memory out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, can he replicate something to that extent where he's like 370 with like six home runs? I mean, this would mean they would like probably go to a World Series if he did that, but can he do something along those lines? Can he take his game to the next level? And I feel like if Manny was ever going to do that, now is the time. Like, this is the moment for Manny. This is the time where he is in the peak of his prime. This is it. It's not going like up anymore. We're at the top. Can he have a postseason where he just kind of puts his team on his back, and every time he's at the plate in a big situation, he comes through?
Would be incredible. I mean, it really would. I feel like, again, when you think about Manny Machado's legacy, it's all now. He's done everything other than two things: MVP, which I would argue he doesn't have to have, but the title is so important for his legacy, especially to get it here when no title's ever been won. Again, he's a Hall of Famer. Look at his numbers. Go look at his baseball reference page. He's pacing for 3,000 hits. He's pacing for 500 home runs. Nobody does that today and doesn't make the Hall of Fame. He's worthy of it. He could be a first ballot Hall of Famer. What he hasn't done is one of the most important pieces for him in terms of his legacy, certainly in this city. Can he bring a ring to the city of San Diego? And again, that's easier said than done. And he wouldn't be the first to not win one if he doesn't win one here. But the whole point of the deal, the first 10-year deal and the extension, was to win a World Series in San Diego. Without it, it's a significant hole in his legacy. But with one, it'll change the story on him for forever.
And it's not just about him. Like, for him personally, if they won a World Series in Baltimore, well, Baltimore's won a World Series before. It'd be great for him personally, and obviously the team and the franchise and whatnot. But they've won a World Series championship before. Manny, it'd be great for him. They won it when he was in LA. Okay. Well, that franchise has won World Series before. It's different when you win a championship with a team that's never won a championship before and you're the main guy. That takes it to another level. It's like, you know, when the Red Sox broke the curse in 04, it wasn't just like, oh man, put a World Series trophy on our legacy. Like, no, you broke the fucking curse. And I'm not saying there's a curse here, but like, you would accomplish something that's never been done before. So like, in that sense, it takes just winning your first championship to another level, because it's the teams and the cities and the franchises first in the history.
Yeah, no, completely agree. It would make it all that more special. It's special everywhere. They all count, but it's almost doubly special when you do it somewhere that has never done it. And you're right. I'm not going to say that they're cursed, but I'm not going to say it hasn't been a curse either for the franchise.
It's just been over bad. The first
56 seasons. Yeah, it's been bad. And they've had a couple of opportunities, but not a million opportunities, obviously, to win a World Series. Richard, appreciate your support of the channel. Thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, please subscribe. We are pushing 7,200 subscribers with your help. Whether you're here live or on replay, we are just about 40 subscribers away from 7,200. Please subscribe as we head towards the postseason. And please smash that like button. And thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Like Richard, who says both of you are going to have a heart attack. Your weapon in this series is Petco. It's an advantage, like the old Boston Garden. So have a beer on me. Listen, I need to be honest. I hope you're right, Richard, but I cannot compare Petco Park's postseason legacy to the Boston Garden. So I hope you're right. Like, it's not like you fall out of bed and automatically win here, like a Celtics team that won 9 titles in a decade or maybe 10 in a row. So I appreciate it. I think Petco's a brilliant, brilliant place. And look at the 2022 postseason against the Dodgers. That was special.
Yeah.
You're going to need more than that. Petco ain't winning this series. And you know what I mean? Like, the fans play a role, but I mean, the ballpark alone, I don't think is carrying this team to a World Series. And I hope I'm wrong.
And obviously basketball is, I mean, Larry Bird can go out there and he can take over a game. Baseball, it's like you get 4 plate appearances, maybe.
Yeah,
you do. And then, you know,
you hit a ball hard and there's someone there.
Yeah, it's just different. It's different. Right. I mean, look, the whole, you guys are going to have a heart attack thing. Like, you know, I truly think it's idiotic to not, if they do face the Braves, right? And they do face Chris Sale, to just be like, who cares? I don't care who they face. Mets.
Petco.
This is the best team, blah, blah, blah. Like, sorry, you're out of your mind. Like, they're in the, when you get to the postseason, there's a level, just from my perspective, of every series, I'm nervous. Like, I'm just on edge. I feel nervous about everything, even if they are the better team, even if they do have the better record and the better players. Because, like you've been saying a lot, John, is this, the unknowns in the postseason outweigh so many things. And anything can happen. And we've seen so many times the best teams not win. It's just, that's how sports are. So, okay, that's great. I'm confident with the Padres going into whoever they face, but I still am nervous as hell. And especially if they face Chris Sale, because he's the Cy Young Award winner this year, the Triple Crown of the National League. So, I mean, go ahead. Say you don't care. Say it doesn't matter to me if they face the – who cares? The Padres, magical season, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all. Okay, fine. But then if they do lose, I don't want you to sit there and bitch about it.
I thought Mike Farron put it beautifully about 6 weeks ago with us, where he said, for a better team to win a series 80% of the time, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said in the NBA – a better team will win a series 80% of the time in a best of 7.
Yeah.
Almost always. I think in the NHL, he said it was like, I'm making a best of 11. So the better team, you know, you need a longer series, but for a team to win 80% of the time. He said for a better team to win a series at an 80% clip in baseball, it's something like a best of 80 series. As in, the variance of a 3-game series leaves a lot of possibilities. If the Padres were the better team and they had a 70-game series, okay, well, maybe they're going to win more than half the games, with regularity. But best of three, there's just so many variables that are out of their control. One base hit, one error, one moment that make it topsy and turvy. With all that being said, I still agree with what Jim said earlier. I still like their spot that they're in. I like their lot, so to speak, coming into the postseason. I really do. And I also like that they deal well with adversity. It doesn't have to be perfect. They don't have to lead 5-0 in game one and 4-0 in game two to win games. So I understand that there might be some adversity in there and they might go down by a run, and that's okay. And they can absolutely win a game going down by a run or two.
Yep, they're not front runners. That's for sure.
So you need to just know that there'll be adversity. I don't expect them to win every game or have a 5-run lead in every single game. That's just not how this sport works. JD Gacho, thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, if Merrill wins Rookie of the Year, do the Padres get a first-round draft pick? I believe that's correct. I believe it's a supplementary pick after the first round, what's referred to as a supplemental first-round pick, or between the first and second round, like a sandwich pick is what they used to call it. So somewhere in that neighborhood of like the 31st or 32nd overall pick, which I think is a huge feather in AJ Preller's cap, speaks to Jackson Merrill's success. It also speaks to their drafting and developing. And by the way, Jackson Merrill was a 23rd selected player. So if you got a pick in the 30s, I mean, shoot, you landed someone like Jackson Merrill in the 20s. That would be a big pickup, obviously.
So season's over. I can't find the quote, but I think he talked to AJ Cassaville and he's like something along the lines of, I just love baseball. I wish the season was longer. I just want more. I just want to play more. I don't know if he's going to be saying that at 32 years old, right? He might be like, I'm good after a 162 season. When you're 21, you're invincible, you feel like. But, I mean, his year this year, John, is nothing short of absolutely incredible. 292, 24 home runs, 90 RBIs, and 826 OPS. He played center field beautifully this year. He could maybe win a gold glove. Played 156 games this season. Played damn near every single night. Didn't get hurt, knock on wood, and just brought this energy to a club that desperately needed it after last year's disaster. I could not love Jackson Merrill more than I do right now.
To that point, I need to say two things. One is he said that to Annie Halbrun. The quote is, I'm just excited to play more, Merrill said. You know, I feel like 162 isn't even enough. So that was earlier today.
Is that to Annie?
Yes.
Annie's in Arizona?
I think she's got the quote. I think. Okay. I mean, unless she got it from TV.
Maybe I did see it from her. I don't know.
That's where I saw it. But here's the other thing. I need to prepare people for something. Paul Skenes.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready. And I need to prepare people for Paul Skenes potentially winning Rookie of the Year. And I'm just telling you right now, we can be upset about it and we can disagree with it, but don't be shocked if it happens. His year, ultimately, from a national perspective, was covered with way more regularity than Jackson Merrill's. Yes, a lot of it was early. He finishes with a 6 WAR, 11-3, a 1.96, 170 strikeouts in 133 innings, a .947 WHIP. If I was guessing, he may be the slight favorite as we sit here today.
I'm pretty sure he is the favorite right now.
I think in Vegas he is, by the way.
Yeah, I
think Merrill's I need to prepare everyone that Jackson Merrill may not win this. Now, he may. But he may not.
Yes. I'm not going to throw a fit at all. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I can't believe Jackson Merrill didn't win. Do I want Jackson Merrill to win? Absolutely. If I had a vote, I'd vote for him right now. But if Paul Skenes wins this thing, guys, I mean, he had an incredible year. You know, you'll see some guys bitching about this in the media that are just completely fake and they don't care really. But all in all, both of those guys had incredible seasons. I think Jackson Merrill deserves it just because he's won a postseason team and he's come up with just some amazing clutch moments that Paul Skenes did not this year. Like if the Pirates were in a postseason race and Paul Skenes was pitching in high leverage games for them, that's completely different.
It is different.
And he wasn't. So I take that into account. And I'm not going to sit here and be a loser and be like,
Well, you know, he only played in 26 games and Jackson Merrill played in 156. Yeah, it's called being a pitcher. That happens every time. And we've seen pitchers win MVP awards before, and they've only pitched 33 games. So stop with that narrative. It's stupid. Paul Skenes had an amazing year. Jackson Merrill had an amazing year. I think Jackson Merrill deserves it just because of the things I said. But if Paul Skenes wins it, would I be surprised? Maybe a little, but I'm not going to like be like fall off my chair. I can't believe the travesty of Paul Skenes winning the Rookie of the Year over Jackson Merrill. Unfortunately,
yeah, I mean, he's got a 1-9 ERA, right?
Yeah.
Is Richard Simmons coming back from the dead a good thing or a bad thing for the Padres heading it? And I'm not talking about Richard Simmons who actually passed away. I'm talking about Richard Simmons, the troll, mm-hmm. who returned briefly to the chat.
Yeah. And I see it in the chat. I understand. People are like, oh, it's not stupid. It's accurate. Okay, that's fine. I've been watching baseball for my whole life.
John's what's watching not baseball. Stupid? What's not, it's not stupid?
That the narrative of like, well, Paul Skenes only played in 26 games and Jackson Merrill played 156.
No, I mean, here's the thing. You can convince yourself any way you want. You could say, right. Well, Jackson Merrill's on a playoff caliber roster and he performed mm-hmm. for that team, but it's not the most valuable player award. And you could argue MVP doesn't have to do with it helping a team win either, because look at like a Mike Trout or a Shohei Ohtani in Anaheim. So you can like work yourself up in circles around what the criteria is for these awards. The truth is both had great seasons and only one can win it. And we've talked to voters, including Dan Zimborski at Fangraphs. And he's like, I don't know who I'm voting for. And I got to vote. So if Dan Zimborski Fangraphs, who crunches the numbers daily and knows everything about the sport, doesn't know who he's voting for, this is no formality or just rubber stamp situation for Jackson Merrill. It's not. This thing could be razor thin. And that's my guess, like 16 first place votes for Merrill and 14 for Skenes, or vice versa. 16 for one of them and 14 for the other. I just think that my concerns are all the attention Skenes grabbed and him being a player in the Eastern time zone. There's more teams in the East than the West. Therefore, inherently, I'm guessing there's more voters in the East than the West. Mm-hmm. So just do the math on some of it. And it can at least be, it could be hairy. I think it's going to be very close.
And Paul Skenes closed strong, man. You see, I mean, his numbers.
Yeah, again, did it matter?
That's how I factor my thing in here is like the numbers that Skenes put up compared to the numbers that Merrill put up. They're both good, but Jackson Merrill did it for one of the best teams in baseball and was doing it in meaningful moments. Paul Skenes wasn't. So I take that in a factor. Correct. When it's as even as it feels like it is, there has to be a deciding factor, and to me, that's the deciding factor.
Yeah, and again, was that Skenes' fault? No, but no. Whatever. If there's a deciding factor, it could be one of them. Every so often, thank you, man, for the super chat again. He says, I know I reference this a lot, but who is your pick to pull a 2022 wildcard NLDS Grisham, or just who is your under-the-radar pick to step up? I mean, is it stupid to say, like, for me, like Xander Bogaerts, who makes $280 million, but I'm not counting on him to have some big postseason, and I'm hoping he could have a big postseason. I mean, who's under the radar on this team? Merrill's not. Machado's not. Tatis isn't. Arraez isn't. Profar isn't.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think if one player could have like a breakout postseason, a guy that Dodger fans were hating today because he won the batting title for the third consecutive year is Luis Arraez.
Sure.
You're immediately going to start off with teams that he knows very well. And I remember, wasn't it in Atlanta this year where he just broke out and like could not, I forget where he had a breakout series. It was like right when he got traded to the Padres. Who did they play?
What was that first series? Yeah, the two four-hit games against whom?
It was Arizona. Arizona. But I'm trying to figure out when they played Atlanta. Was he on the team yet?
I don't think when they were in Atlanta, but I could be wrong.
I think he was.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. Two hits there. Yeah, two hits there.
Um, Can this Richard Simmons guy go away?
And two hits there. And then two. Dude, in the series against Atlanta, when he first got traded here, he had, in four games, he had eight hits combined. Luis Arraez.
He's done a lot this year. Four games had eight hits.
I'm going to take Luis Arraez as like my breakout. He's not like an unknown, obviously, but like no. he's had an amazing year. But I'll take Luis Arraez to have a good postseason.
Let's tell everyone about MovaGlobes, because the postseason is here and MovaGlobes maybe is a reason why they sign on. The Padres have the best record in baseball since May 1st. And these are great, great products. They have all 30 major league teams officially licensed, including the Padres. This company is based in San Diego. Technology invented in Cardiff by the Sea here in North County. It spins automatically with artificial or natural light. All 30 major league teams, plus many more globes as well. And if you use promo code PWS10, you're getting 10% off. All you have to do is click the link in the description down below. That's promo code PWS10, PWS10, 10% off. Click the link in the description down below. All 30 major league teams available. Great gift idea. Great for the home office. Great for home. Your family's going to love them. Make sure to pick one up today.
Yeah, get a Padres Mobile Globe before the postseason starts. Or if you want to get it for somebody for a present, before the postseason starts, or if you want to get somebody a present and stash it away for Christmas, or birthday, or just because you're a diehard Padres fan and you want to get one of these Mova Globes, use our promo code PWS10, click the link below. Postseason baseball coming up. You got to have your Padres Mova Globe in your house or on your desk at work, so everyone knows that you're a big time Padres fan. So get your Mova Globe today.
Pick it up. Click the link in the description down below. Use promo code PWS10. Back to these super chats, guys. Again, if you are here, there's about 500 of you here live right now. Please subscribe. Year on content for Padres fans. We've got you covered for the postseason. And also thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Hendrick, appreciate you. So see, I didn't realize this. This is good news. First or second in rookie of the year voting results in getting the extra pick if you meet criteria, which Merrill does. So that's encouraging. There's no world where he's not top two. I know the National League has had a great rookie class. We've talked about it with Mike Farron and others. A lot of very good players. 4, 5, 6 very good players, maybe more. He's first or second. Okay, so that's where he's going to finish, but we don't know where he's going to finish, whether it's first or second, unfortunately.
He'll finish first or second.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. The rookie class this year has been fantastic. Jackson Churio, Jackson Merrill, Paul Skeens, Mason Wynn, Shota Imanaga. It's been a great rookie class. I think like we talked about this earlier this year, John, is, you know, if he doesn't win rookie of the year, it's not the end of the world, guys. The Padres have a cornerstone center fielder and franchise player for years to come. Mm-hmm. That should make you the most excited. Not, oh, he didn't win rookie of the year, or he wins rookie of the year. Like, 'cause we've seen a lot of players win rookie of the year and kind of fizzle out. I would trade that right now for a guarantee of 10 years of excellence from Jackson Merrill, like this season.
Sure.
Yeah. In a second. And I understand it, dude. I want my player to win the awards. Like, it's just cool. I want it all. I want my player to win the awards. I want my team to win a championship. I want all the accolades. I want the MVPs. I want Cy Young. I want all of that stuff. So I understand it. But
I just want to win. I mean, if they win in the postseason, who cares? If they lose in the postseason,
yeah.
This isn't like a consolation prize, mm-hmm. is what I would say. I mean, we'll take it. It's great for him, but
and he would trade a rookie of the year for a World Series championship like that. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, would Ohtani trade 50-50 for winning the postseason? I think he would trade 50-50.
Probably not, actually. I think he really
everyone is obsessed with 50-50. Hendrick, thank you, man. He says Pirates won't get bonus pick for Skeens at least. I'm not sure as to why, if that's accurate. Because he was selected first overall, or because he came up late. Oh, is he not qualifying for the bonus pick because he didn't start the year in the major leagues? Maybe that's the case. That's a possibility. Oh,
what a disaster by the Pirates if that's the case.
Whatever. Retod, thank you for the super chat. He says, thanks for providing us this outlet for another year. Last year aged us 5 years. This year has been timeless. Don't ruin it, Suarez. 13 more wins, LFGSD. That's right. 2 wins in a wild card series. 3 wins in a divisional series, 4 wins in a championship series, 4 wins in a World Series is what it's going to take for the Padres. Of course, less for the teams that got the bye. But yes, they would be 13 wins away from a World Series championship, which in theory doesn't sound like a lot, but we all realize is a lot.
It's a lot, but you got to like condense it down, you know? So you can't think 13 wins. You got to think 2 right now. 2. That's all that matters for this week is getting 2 more wins. So then you move on to the next round. And then you got to get 3 wins and then you move on to the next. Yep. You got to get 4 and then you got to get 4 after that. So it's like, just get 2 this week and you move on.
100%. Thank you, Hendrick, following up by saying he was called up too late. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, Major League Baseball is trying to incentivize teams for having rookies on the Major League roster for most of the year. Mm-hmm. And with Skeens, he didn't get up until May and Merrill was here in March. So, you know, the Padres should be rewarded for that. And again, that is a factor for me too. If they're tied in rookie of the year voting, Merrill was here all year, Skeens wasn't. It's not Skeens' fault he wasn't here all year, but the truth is he wasn't here all year. And that's the difference between the two players.
Yeah, I think that the like the tying tiebreaker here all are in Merrill's favor, in my opinion.
I agree.
Because guess what? They're both all-stars, both great seasons, both, you know, put up some big-time numbers, both performed in clutch. I mean, I don't say clutch moments because Skeens, I don't know if he had that many clutch moments because the Pirates suck. Right. But, like, it just amazing stats, right? Like, Jackson Merrill, 5 go-ahead and tying home runs in the 8th inning or longer. The deciding factor, like you said, for me, started the year with the Padres. Made the postseason, was a big part of a winning team.
So. By the way, shout out to Matt Waldron, who threw 94 pitches today in relief.
Beautiful, dude. Beautiful.
That's beautiful. Unbelievable. He threw 94 pitches in 4 innings.
I'm just glad that he's still like
around.
Around. I mean, once he got sent down, it was silent. You didn't hear anything about Matt Waldron.
Nothing.
And I think Manny gave him a shout out in their celebration the other night, because when you think about it, their season was like on the brink. It felt like
when he made that start in Philly
and that start in Philadelphia, when Manny blew up and was like, I got to fucking fix this. And then Waldron went out there and outdueled Ranger Suarez.
Yeah.
And that was a turning. That was like the turning point in the season, to be honest with you.
So Martin Perez threw 3 innings today as a 1-0 lead. And you're like, Lord, like
stop.
Then he gets freaking hammered in the 4th inning. It's 6-1.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And you're like, thank you. Like, and then Waldron did what he needed to do. I think Matsui was there at the end. This was also mission accomplished for Mike Schilt, because on Saturday and Sunday, you can't just sit Machado and Tatis and Arise, and you can't sit everyone. So you only have 4 guys on your bench, so you got to play guys. And the other thing is you can't avoid every pitcher in your bullpen because your starters aren't going 9 innings. So like you had to hide, and you need to get cute with Martin Perez and Randy Vasquez and Matt Waldron, and they did it. And they actually won. By the way, how much of a choke job is Arizona?
Oh, God.
Holy, how do you lose
disaster
on Saturday in a must-win game against a team that's not trying to win and basically cost yourself a playoff spot?
And you not only lose the game, you lose to Brandon Lockridge.
Yeah, who homers for the first time in his career. Yep.
And Kyle Gashioka and Donovan Solano.
Yep.
And Randy Vasquez. That's such a disaster, nightmare finish for Arizona. But they've been stumbling. They have not been playing good baseball, even though they ended up with 89 wins. Can you think about this, John? 89 wins is probably not going to get you in.
Never would have said that 3 months ago.
Wild, dude.
I do think non-playoff players are eligible to be with the club. I don't know how many. It's been reported that Matt Waldron will be with the club. Players that are on injured reserve or on the IL can be with the club, like Ha-Seong Kim. I don't know what the number is. You're going to see 2 to 4 to 6 quote unquote extras probably with the club. Plus they can reset their postseason roster by round. Plus they can actually change their postseason roster if there is an injury. Remember, those rules do exist. If you replace a player in a round, you then lose that player for the next round as well, but you can make that replacement within a series. They won't have to set their postseason roster, by the way, for the wild card until Tuesday. I don't know the time they have to set it on Tuesday, but they won't have to set it until Tuesday.
I'm pretty sure that you can, I mean, I don't know if there's a limit on who can just be in the dugout.
Well, I'm sure there's a limit. I mean, it's not going to be unlimited.
Dude, you know how many times, how many postseason teams we've seen with a loaded dugout?
Yeah, it's loaded up.
Like 40 dudes in there.
Well, back in the day, you could have 40 in September, but yeah.
I think, because like, don't they also bring up maybe like a minor league coach or something like that just to be around?
No idea.
I don't know. But I Waldron will be around. Kim will be around. Wadey will be around. Probably Nikki is going to be around. Yeah, you're going to have a bunch of guys there that have contributed this season just in the dugout. I guarantee that.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Guys, if you have not yet played at Underdog, you can do it right now. Great time to sign up with playoff baseball here. Of course, we've got Monday Night Football coming up tomorrow. We have college football. We have NFL as well. But we've got Padres Pick'ems you can play during the postseason with Underdog. If you use promo code PODSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. Plus, they give you gimme first picks, like higher than a half total yard passing for Patrick Mahomes they had today. He was an over. It was higher. He threw for more than a half yard. I didn't watch the game, but I know he threw for more than a half yard. Yeah. So they give you gimme first picks. They give you the 50% deposit match up to $1,000. You can play along right now for the postseason. Padres Pick'ems, like higher or lower than Manny Machado having 1.5 total bases, or higher or lower than Fernando Tatis Jr. having a half walk in the game, so on and so forth. All you got to do is use promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Click the link in the description down below or scan that QR code that's over Jim's head.
Right there. Promo code PODSWRAP. Download the Underdog Fantasy app. Postseason in baseball starts Tuesday. I don't know if they have any special picks just yet. Gimme picks in baseball. I don't know if they would. But like tomorrow night, football, Monday Night Football, you got Tyreek Hill higher than a half total yard. You got 17 hours to do that. And all you got to do is download Underdog Fantasy app, use our promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP, and you get the free gimme pick there for tomorrow night.
All right, so click that link in the description down below. The SEC, thank you. He wants to know if Profar is the comeback player of the year. I always ask this question in baseball and I always forget. Is there a comeback player of the year? And B, yeah. Is he comeback eligible since he didn't come back?
I'm pretty sure there's a comeback player of the year.
I'll Google 2023 MLB comeback player of the year. Liam Hendricks.
There you go. Yeah, he kind of overcame a lot.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So now again, is comeback mean you overcome something like Hendricks, who was diagnosed with cancer last year?
Yeah, he literally overcame cancer to come back and pitch.
And then Bellinger, I guess, was just coming off a bad season, right? Or was he coming off an injury at that time?
I mean, you can come off either injury or bad season. I mean, ideally, you don't want to win comeback player of the year because
you sucked at some point or something.
The previous year, either you sucked. Yeah, you sucked or you got hurt.
Or medical, yeah.
So.
Interesting. Maybe you will.
Maybe.
What do we think? Anything? And we'll talk more about this tomorrow on John and Jim, 3 to 6, San Diego Sports 760, iHeartRadio app, also on YouTube. So join us tomorrow from 3 to 6. Of course, we have you covered. Getting ready for the wild card round. We may know, well, we could know who the Padres are facing after game one of that doubleheader. But do we have any feel for this postseason roster, like the Brandon Lockridges of the world and the Nicky Ahmeds and their bullpen? I mean, the fourth starter, we haven't learned of the rotation.
I think there's a real possibility the rotation could go Cease, King, Musgrove.
Right. Yeah, there's been a lot of King talk here over the weekend, right?
Yeah, and I don't know where that would leave you, Darvish. Like, would he make the postseason roster for the wild card round?
I would think yes, right? What if someone only goes an inning and two thirds?
Okay.
Then what would you do?
Would you
cover it with what?
Would you go if King got blown up in the first, you're really gonna say, hey, Darvish, I know you've never come out of the bullpen before, but let's go to you.
I mean, I just want someone that's stretched out, that's available. I mean, of course not if you're down 9-0, but if you score three in the first, then you give up four in the second, and the guys throw 51 pitches, what options are you gonna have at that point in the second inning? Brian Hoeing?
I mean, they have a good problem on their hands, but I mean, you were like on top of the table screaming like Darvish will not come out of the bullpen. So if you have him on this postseason roster and he's not scheduled for game one, two, or three, then what's the point of him if he's not gonna come out of the bullpen because he's never done it before?
Fair.
So I think I'd feel more confident with a guy who's come out of the bullpen, Brian Hoeing, to give you like three innings than you.
I mean, Darvish. I still think it's a bit of a risky proposition to not pitch you, Darvish, after returning for personal matters to be here. He hasn't been perfect, but he's been effective.
It's also risky to not pitch Joe or not pitch Michael King.
Well, I would say I agree, but at least there's cover. I mean, Michael King
has been fantastic this year.
He's had a great year, but he hasn't necessarily been asked to pitch in these spots. And I get it. Yu Darvish hasn't been perfect in the postseason either, but I don't know. I guess all of it you could make an argument for.
I think just from like hearing people talk about him more, I think King gets game two. I really do. I think it's Cease game one, King game two, Joe game three if necessary.
What if you're down one game?
I don't think they waver.
You'd still need to, of course, even if you won game two, win game three. So you would need Musgrove in that situation anyway, or King in theory, even if you won game two.
And look at it this way. Like, I mean, we're talking about best case scenarios here, right? You just win the first two games, then games one and two at Dodger Stadium's Darvish and Musgrove.
Simple.
I mean, they have it lined up to, even if this thing goes three games here at Petco this week and say they do win the series in three and they do have Cease, King, and Musgrove pitching those three games. Well, games one and two at Dodger Stadium is already set up to be Darvish and Cease. So, like, you know, they have everything lined up through game four of the division round, however they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's lined up. I just think that whoever's the odd man out in the wild card round, it doesn't make any sense for him to be on the roster unless it's Michael King, because he has come out of the bullpen before. So, but even then, it's like, you're going to choose Michael King over like Jason Adam? Like, you're not.
Well, of course not. But what if you need, who do you turn to if you need to get three innings of relief? Brian Hoeing?
Depends on the situation of the game.
Well, who else would even be possible candidate to do that is my point. Because what if you have a game that goes 11 innings or 12? I mean, you're going to need a stretched out reliever. I mean, a really stretched out reliever. Yeah. Otherwise, you could be, dude, you and I watch these games all the time. Pitchers aren't effective and they go for the quick hook.
Yeah,
and then I mean, you're going to get eight innings out of your bullpen in a game, or seven innings. And again, it's been done. The Padres did a couple years ago, but it's not easy.
I just think King starting one of the games, but I don't know.
I mean, who the hell knows? I guess
we'll probably find out tomorrow who's pitching game one during their workout at 3:00.
Well, we know who's pitching game one, right?
It's not official yet, but we know.
Right.
It's Dylan Cease.
They're working out while the Mets and Braves are playing regular season games.
And I don't think we will know after game one of the Mets Braves game, because we have to know if the winner of game one wins game two loses game two.
If the Braves win game one, they're coming here, right?
No. Oh, is that right?
Come on, bro. Clean it up. Don't be sloppy here. If the Mets sweep the doubleheader, the Padres play the Mets. Any other result, the Padres play the Braves.
Okay, so the Mets have to sweep.
If the Braves win game one, they're coming here. and they could put half their team on a plane before game two if they really wanted to.
If I'm the Braves and I win game one, I'm putting everything I possibly can in to win game one tomorrow, and I'm literally throwing up the white flag game two. I'd be like, we're not even, I don't even want to play. Just like take it.
I know. Cares.
Like, I know. I'm not doing this.
And then like, you're thinking, well, the Mets are going to win game two. That's where Arizona's screwed. But
Arizona's fucked.
Yeah, they're definitely screwed. But it's still baseball. You never know, is what I would say. All right, guys, let's do this again tomorrow, 3 p.m. on John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760. We'll get you ready for the wild card series that begins Tuesday at 5:38 from Petco Park against either Atlanta or New York. Again, we will be on John and Jim from the Knotty Barrel Tuesday and Wednesday beginning at 2 p.m. downtown 9th and Market. Please join us Tuesday and Wednesday. Also join us tomorrow, 3 p.m. But again, special shows Tuesday and Wednesday, getting you ready. We've got an extended 30 minutes, 3.5 hour shows on Tuesday and Wednesday, beginning at 2 p.m. Thanks, Jim, for that. Appreciate it.
Oh, sorry. An extra 30 minutes.
All I do is extra 30 minutes. My whole life is an extra 30 minutes.
Bro, 3.5 hour show is nothing. Leading up to a Padres okay, then playoff
why don't we, game. You know, why don't I'll tell Mary, why don't we just do 2 to 6 every day? Why don't we have 3 live shows, a 6 to 10, a 10 to 2, a 2 to 6?
I would love that. I would love to have live shows on our fucking station, but that's not going to happen.
So, well, we could do 12 hours. If you want live shows, why don't we do 6 to 6?
You want if you want 12 hours of live, John, then you're going to have to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a little extreme going from 3.5 hours to 12 hours, but to each their own, I guess.
Are we also going to do, why don't we do, are we going to have post-game coverage on San Diego Sports 760?
As of right now, no. Not that I know of. But how about this? How about you nominate yourself? Yeah, just go to their format. Fuck it. Just go 4-hour blocks nonstop. Right. And then see how much you hate it after one day.
No, that's what you're telling me. You're telling me 3.5 hours isn't a big deal. So why don't we just do 4 hours?
You're also not factoring in the fact that, like, when we go off the air at 5:30, we're going off the air at 5:26 because we have a spot block there that ends at 5:30. And then also we have a break, John. So if you count it, like 14 plus 6, like extra 20 minutes of work.
No, don't play that game.
I'm playing it. Because
when we end at 6, we sign off at 5:56. So signing off another 30 minutes later is still a 30 minutes later.
Oh, my Jesus. Stop being so soft. He's complaining about extra 25 minutes of work, everybody.
30 minutes. Well, then we're going to do a wrap-up. Well, of course, we have wrap-up shows following every postseason game.
Hey, look, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Then I'll just – it's fine. I mean, you can hang out somewhere else. That's cool.
You do the show. I'll just be
– okay, cool. I'll do the show.
I'll be at the bar. I'll be at the bar at Knotty Barrel.
Go drink some kombucha. Who cares?
I would love to.
Yeah. Perfect. I would love to. Trust me. I was texting with them tonight. Would love that.
That'd be great. Yeah. Maybe come on as a guest.
I'm sure certain people would love that.
All right, I think our listeners would.
Our listeners would love it.
Subscribe. If we don't get to 7,200 subscribers, honestly, I don't even know if we do a show.
If we don't get to 7,200 subscribers, John's not doing 3.5 hours of radio on Tuesday.
And I'm not. So subscribe.
And cry about channel. It more.
Subscribe to the damn channel. smash the like button, follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on a replay, we appreciate the super thanks. And if you haven't become a member, you can click the join button down below. Thank you to our sponsors, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. If you have any insurance need, get in contact with Mark Nimitz. He's going to hook you up. He can save you a lot of money just by switching your insurance. Mova Globes, 10% off. Use promo code PWS10. Underdog Fantasy, 50% deposit match. All you need to do is use promo code PODSWRAP, that is PADSWRAP. Click the link in the description down below. All right, Jim. Padres lose today. Who cares? They're 93-69. We will see you tomorrow at 3 p.m. on YouTube, on San Diego Sports 760, on the iHeart Radio app. We didn't even talk about Robert Suarez today. Didn't even mention him.
Why would we mention him?
It's not a story.
What did he do?
Well, yeah, you know what he did? He sucked in the final 2 months of the year, Jim. Be honest.
No shit, John. But what's changed the last 3 days? Nothing.
Dude, the postseason's about to start, and Robert Suarez is your closer.
So let's just replay what we talked about last Thursday or whenever, maybe Wednesday, and let's just replay it right now.
because nothing's changed. Yeah, just bring on Hacksaw and we can have him talk about it.
Subscribe to his channel as well.
Actually, all right, don't.
Someone clip that. All right, peace.
You motherfucker.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.